Good afternoon, church. It's nice to be here. Thank you for writing that song so quick, Philip. That's a song with a wonderful message. If you don't get anything that I'm going to say, the message has already been preached by that song. That he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world, but he did not. He died for you and for me. He had the power, but he did not call upon the 10,000 angels. Let us pray. Oh Lord, may I decrease and may you increase so that your will be done in our lives. Speak to us today. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. The title of our discussion this morning is Throw Away Your Sword. Throw Away Your Sword. I'm going to read again John chapter 18, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. They led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest of the year. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You know very much well about Simon Peter. He was one of the disciples that was called by Jesus when he was fishing. And he said to Jesus, "Depart from me, I am a sinner." And Jesus performed a miracle in that Simon Peter had and his friends, they had gone fishing, but they could not catch any fish. This is the same Simon Peter who walked on water. He had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. And on this particular day, Jesus' journey on earth was coming to an end. His service was coming to a close. And he had only one more day before he would be crucified. He took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. They went in there. He took Simon Peter, James, and John for prayer. And then he moved away from them and started praying. The pen of inspiration says, Jesus was so distressed in the Garden of Gethsemane that when he was praying, the sins of the world were pressing upon him. So much that he was sweating like drops of blood. And when he came back to the disciples, they were sleeping. And then he continued to pray. And the Bible says that an angel came down to strengthen him. This was his last time on earth. When you are living your last time, at times you want to be with the loved ones. When you are walking the last mile of the journey, you want those people that are close to you to be with you so that you can say whatever you can say and be with them so that they can strengthen you. But on this particular moment, those disciples or the beloved disciples, those that were close to Christ, they could not help much. And these are the same disciples that were there at the Mount of Transfiguration when they saw Jesus being honored, when they saw Elijah and Moses talking to Jesus. These are the same disciples. These are the same disciples that saw miracles, that were given the power to go and perform miracles. These are the same disciples that were there when the 5,000 people were fed. But when it came to the hour that they were supposed to be there, they were not there. They said the spirit was willing, but the flesh was tired. And I guess it was during the night. And my Bible says, after the prayer, and during that prayer, Jesus prayed for the disciples. He prayed also for Simon Peter, and he prayed for the church. He prayed for you and for me. During that prayer when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when you look into the book of Matthew, the book of Luke, and John, they all mention this story. And as Jesus had finished praying, he told the disciples, "The time has come, let's go." So they got up and then they started walking, and that's when Judas Iscariot appeared together with some of the soldiers. And one other guy who was there was a servant of the high priest. They were going to arrest Jesus, and this other guy was a representative of the high priest. When you go to Luke chapter 22, I think it should be verse 38. There were two disciples who had swords. There were two swords that were there. One of the disciples that had the sword was Simon Peter. And we don't know the other disciple who had the sword. But probably, maybe, it may be one of the sons of thunder. Maybe James and John, maybe. I don't know. But there were two swords. I tried to put myself in the shoes of Peter. You are walking together with the master. And then soldiers come to seize him. What are you going to do? Are you just going to sit and say, "Well, let them take him away"? Or maybe you are walking with your wife and somebody comes, they want to shoot your wife. Are you just going to sit and say, "That's fine, it's okay, I let them just do that"? Simon Peter loved Christ. And when you look back, he told Christ that wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. But there was something that Simon Peter did not understand. Jesus was supposed to die. Although Simon Peter loved Christ. For the Bible says the plan of salvation was laid before the foundation of the world. And here is a beloved disciple of Christ who wants to put a stop to the plan of salvation. he thought he was trying to help Christ, yet actually he was not. You know, there's a man also in the Bible called Uzzah. One time when David took the ark of God, Uzzah thought that the ark was going to fall, so he tried to go and help so that the ark will not fall, and he died because he was trying to help God. Are there times when we try to help God, when we think it's okay to help God when we are not supposed to? Are there times when there is a plan in place and we think that our plans are better than the plan that is put in place by God, and we want to substitute God's plan by our own plan? It's just food for thought. The Bible says, one of the disciples said, "Can we strike?" He asked Christ. But that was not the case with Peter. When you read your Bible, it says he just drew his sword and then struck the servant of the high priest. And my thinking is that for him to cut off the ear, he was going to go for the jugular or for the head. And he missed, so he ended up cutting the ear. Now, this is a man who has been walking with Christ for 3.5 years. I try to imagine the pictures of them wearing those white robes. And I try to think, where was the sword hidden? Does it mean that Peter was walking with the sword for all these 3.5 years? He had a sword for 3.5 years. Well, it may be a culture that they use the swords for cutting maybe some watermelons, cutting fish, and many other things. But that sword that Peter had, when the right opportunity came, he attacked the servant of the high priest. Then I thought of myself being in church. Then I got a sword by my side, or I got a knife by our standards, or maybe I got a pistol. I always keep it in my pocket, and I come for prayer meeting. All the 3 years that Simon Peter kept that sword, there was no problem. The only problem arose when Jesus was being taken away. He took the sword and then sliced the ear of the servant. And then Jesus said, he rebuked Peter and then healed that servant. The question that I had for myself was this. I have been walking with Christ for quite a while. Do I have a sword that at times I would use it to destroy instead of to build? All along, Peter had that sword for 3.5 years. He was walking with Christ, but it was there. When the right time came, he pulled out that sword and then attacked the servant of the high priest. When I went through my Christian journey and asked myself, could it be that we as Christians, we have swords that we have? Yes, we are walking with Christ. But there are times when we pull out swords and then attack God's people. The sword may be in the form of bad words to my wife. There are many married people in here. You say some words to your spouse that will make them so stressed out that it's even difficult for them to go to work. That's a sword in your pocket. You've been keeping it for quite a while. And maybe you need to throw it away. It may be the sword of lying. You're somebody who, when you hear a story, you add 3 or 4 sentences to that story so that it becomes more interesting. That may be a sword that you need to throw away. You may be walking with Christ, but there is something hidden within you that other people do not know. It's a sword that will only come out at the appropriate time. In this case, the appropriate time was when Christ was being taken away. Then Peter takes off that ear. And then I thought of also of the ear. Okay. This was on a Thursday. Jesus was going to be nailed to be killed on Friday. Now, this Malchus, if he was going to meet with Peter sometime later, and Peter was going to preach the gospel to Malchus, if Jesus had not healed Malchus' ear, how was Malchus going to hear with an ear that was sliced by a disciple who is now preaching? And also, I started to think. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "I would have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world." And he could have called 72,000 angels, because he said 6 legions. He could have called 72,000 angels. At this particular moment, if Peter was in the place of Jesus, was he not going to call the 10,000 angels and destroy Malchus and all everybody who was there? What do you think? Most likely he was going to call because he wanted to kill that Malchus. At times, this gospel is not about us winning. This gospel is about us being humble. At times, this gospel may mean that some people have got to win and we lose. And I know it's not the American concept of losing. It's not the American concept to lose. I can ask you a question. Who are the people, which teams played in the Super Bowl in 2011? Does anybody remember? Taban. What teams? Okay. Who won the Super Bowl in 2012? No, I'm talking of 2012. Okay. In the American concept, why I'm asking these questions, normally we just recognize the winner. When you win it all, when you lose, we just forget about it. That's why when you look in the history of Super Bowl, when you ask a lot of people, they don't remember who played, but they remember who won the Super Bowl. Because it's all about winning. But in this gospel, Jesus won by losing, by agreeing to die on the cross, by not calling the 10,000 angels to come and destroy the world, by giving his life, by substituting his life for our lives, by not being number one, but being the last one, by being called a sinner, yet he was not a sinner, by being called one of us, yet he was God. There is the lesson of humility, that at times we have got to humble ourselves. We got to humble ourselves in our families. We got to humble ourselves in this service. Is the service about we being the servants and others being served? But many times, it's about me, 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 me. Many times when we are caught up in emotions, we want to try and help God do his work instead of us joining God. And at times we want to substitute God's plan by our own plans. And instead of being humble and bring our burdens to Calvary, at times we come to Calvary, bring the burdens just for a short time, and then we take our burdens away, and hence we end up being stressed. Come on, bring your burdens to Calvary. Peter was being taught all along about being humble, but on this particular time, he took away the humbleness and then threw it away. And then he became Peter, the guy who was doing what he was doing, the guy who could fight. But all the days that he was, and by the way, in 2 days' time, the church was going to be left in his hands. Now the church being left in the hands of an elder who has got a sword, who is cutting off other people's ears. Oh, really? But there is good news. The good news that is there is that the same Peter, Jesus said, I prayed for you so that when your faith is going to be shaken, you are not going to lose your faith. It's the same Peter who ended up doing a lot of miracles. It's the same Peter who was nailed on the cross upside down. And this time he's the one who was nailed. He did not use his sword. He became transformed. So what we need is transformation in our lives, so that we can become like Christ. So what I'm saying is, during our Christian walk, let us check on ourselves and look at those souls that we have and throw away the sword. At times, in marriages, there's a system trying to punish, trying to fix at work. And at times also, there is the issue of you may not say anything. You may be quiet. But deep within you, you say something. God knows. At times you may have the spirit of insubordination. That's the same spirit that was there in Simon Peter. It was, he tried to submit all along, but when the opportunity arose, he jumped out of what he was. What was hidden came out. So the message that I have today is, do I have a sword that I'm carrying in my pocket? That at times I'll just pull out and then slice somebody's ear. I need to watch what I talk, how I behave. Whatever I do, I need to make sure that I do not have a sword in my pocket that I'm using to slay God's servant. And above all, if I do have it, I need to be transformed. Because when Peter realized this mistake, after rejecting Christ, he turned around and was transformed, and he became the Peter that we are talking about, the disciple of Christ, who was ready for Christ to do his work. Maybe even the idea of you not volunteering, it may be a small sword that you have of just insubordination. Let us work on that. Let us look at our lives deeply and see what sword I have that is causing harm to God's work. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.